Well, if you have your Bibles, which you hope, or your Bible devices, whatever you have, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I would like to begin. So pray one more time. Father, we pray that this word would have a life of its own inside of us as we receive it, and we do receive it, God. We pray that you would explode into our hearts in ways that we haven't dreamed of, and God, we pray that we would have no resistance. Come on, pray with me, agree? Pray we wouldn't have any resistance, God. We pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. All right, well, good morning. So, listen, I just want to preface this just a little bit, but, you know, I care about this house, and we carry you in our hearts. So many places we're praying along with you for breakthrough. I've scoured this room here, and thoughts of many of you sit in the same places praying for you as I remember you in those places, and I know God's breaking through. Some encouragement to share with a little bit. Recently read some George Barna statistics. Now, I'm a context guy, so bear with me, because I just want you to understand some things. In it, he said that 73%, it was a study on Christianity in the church today, 73% of Americans believe in God. But that's a good thing. Everybody, that's good, right? But when it actually got down to those who actually attend church and are involved in church, read their Bibles and pray, it will move down to 33% of that 73. Whoa. Now, that qualifier is attended church in 1 month and have given in the last year. That's a pretty big qualifier, isn't it? So that means even a smaller remnant are those who really are living a vital life in Christ, constantly going before the Lord and living a prayer life and living out of their prayer life, living out of the Word of God. And that would be us. And also this great corridor from Lancaster to at least Chambersburg, because there's so many amazing churches and God moving. It's wonderful. But my encouragement to you is, even though those numbers seem small, God can do a great thing with a remnant. And I love and in the Bible. I really do. And is one of my favorite words. And God is significantly interested in where you are in your heart right here today. That this is a living church, and so he's made his way through this place. In fact, he's created this that very room and church by his heart. And we've listened to it, and we've been allowed to jump into it. But the very room, the structure, has been his ideas. He's provided for it. He is seriously interested in this church. It's not just the room, because the room is a room. Without God, it's just a room. But with God, it's past, present, and future. It's heaven meets earth, and it's the kingdom of God. It's everything. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. So he is interested in where you are in your heart. He's interested in what you believe. He's interested in that as you turn your heart toward him, he is ready to answer. And so as we prepare for this offering, we're looking to give him something to work with. Is that right? Yes. Give God a little and believe him. And understand that you're part of a remnant that's changing the world. The world. Amen? And no matter what you see out there or hear, God, the ecclesia is the determining government in this planet. The ecclesia, the way we pray, how we believe, our generosity, our grace, our kindness, our firmness, our stand, our advance are all important to God. He's paying attention. So if you think your life doesn't count where you are so wrong. But it does count. And the enemy's going to work really hard. Of course he would, to alienate you, think that your decisions aren't important. It has no impact, but you're wrong. It does have an impact. By the statistics alone, God is interested in this house. This morning, already encouraging you, drawing you out of where you've been to where he is. So you see the reality of his love, his favor on you, and his kingdom is the one that lasts throughout the generations and all the ages. I believe. Come on. All right. That's just my context. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. All right, here we go. So this is a beautiful story. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There's this little notation about Macedonians that's in there. And it makes me crazy happy. And I'm going to read it out of the, guys, if you're just, Sean, if you're doing the projection, I'm going to do it out of the Message because I just like the way it reads, okay? You can follow along in your New King James Version, whatever you got. But it's chapter 8, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. Now, friends, I want to report on the surprising and generous ways in which God is working in the churches in the Macedonia province. Fierce troubles came down on the people of those churches, pushing them to the very limit. The trial exposed their true colors. Yes! They were incredibly happy, though desperately poor. Actually, what it says is the New King James Version is that they are abundantly joyful as they abundantly had poverty. Is that what it says, right? So the more they pressed down on them, the more they were happy. This is so weird, isn't it? So wonderful. So he's there, man. I mean, so it wasn't on the outside. The circumstances were not really good. The more they loved, the more they abundantly fell into God, the more the persecution came, the desperately poor, the more economy broke, got worse and worse. Yes? Yes. Say yes.
Yes.
The pressure triggered something like totally unexpected, an outpouring of pure and generous gifts. I was there. I saw it for myself. They gave offerings of whatever they could and far more than they could afford, pleading for the privilege of helping out in the relief of poor Christians. This was totally spontaneous and entirely their own idea and caught us completely off guard. I love this words. What explains it was that they were first given themselves unreservedly to God and then to us. You know, just in that little sentence, to God and to us, most people believe in God and believe in who he says he is, and then you finally believe in who he says they are. But that's a whole different level to give yourself to believing in somebody else and God moving through them. These guys were Holy Spirit terrorists. Seriously. In the spirit they were. In every good way. They were believing. They only had faith for themselves, for God for touching them. But they had faith in Paul and his friends that he was moving through their life. And they gave themselves to God, then they gave themselves to them. What a great level of faith. What a great place to believe. Look how much God can work with that. See, what you don't know about Macedonia is it had been a great kingdom. In fact, Alexander the Great came out of Macedonia and it ruled the world at one time, the Macedonians. And that it covered things, but it had been in a diminishing role. And now, probably the least of all states it was at this time, right now. It was a slave state to Rome, the economy was busted, and it was a difficult life. But in the midst of this, the Macedonians realized they were not the same as they used to be. When the word, the gospel, the living love of God came into them and rescued them and told them they are free on the inside and set them free from their troubles on the outside, they were different people. And in this, they were forced, in a sense, they were compelled. I am not the same as I was before. I am not dictated by what the circumstances on the outside says to me. And so I'm going to be true to myself. I'm going to be different. So when the opportunity to give, there is a connection with their heart with poor people because they had been through it. Now knowing they weren't poor anymore, knowing that they're full of love, knowing that they had a total abundance in their life. And they said to those people poor in Jerusalem that James has asked Paul to collect, we're going to give to them. In fact, we have to give to them. As a show, because we're not lacking anymore. Offering and things like this is such a powerful thing to do because it's a finite thing that we get to do that releases the infinite in our lives. It's one of the things that God says, well, he's all that, they're all in Malachi, prove me. Come on, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and prove me. He's like God saying, I double dog dare you, do it. Do it, and you'll give me something to work out with. I hope you do it cheerfully. I hope you do it with faith, but do it. I'll even work with your grouchy fanny, and I'll do it. You know what I mean? But if you do it, there's something about obedience in it, and it's something that shifts who you are and dares to trust God. And this is what the Macedonians were proving in these little line here, and it goes on to chapter 9 to talk about it, which I'll show you. But they were different people. Hello? This opportunity next week, I'm so burdened with us because I want us to break into a new economy. Like Charles said, this first fruits offering connected to our hearts. It's not a gimmick or manipulation. If you're there, then keep your money. But if you see that we were looking for a different economy, I love that Mark and Jen shared what they trusted God. God amplified and you did God math. It's better than algebra. It's better than trigonometry. It's better than ishkabami, yamamdi, tramadi thing. Whatever they do, if my son understands it all, I have no idea. But it's like, I would love to teach a class on God math. You subtract, he adds ridiculously. You thought you could add and multiply, but he's way, way beyond that. You know what I mean? Because this only affects our present right now, but affects our generations beyond exponentially. It always affects. Everything we do in the kingdom seems to be a singular act when we're doing it, because it's a place of faith, our faith, nobody else's. But it always makes a double, triple, quadruple impact for those around you. It might take years of sowing, and we should be sowing, but it will affect, because these are the laws of the kingdom, and there is no dispute on them. They do it, don't they, Brian? And there's no dispute. I love that, but seriously. All right, Three things that happen in here that you really have to see, and I'm going to challenge you on, okay? Number one, they had an amazing ask, A-S-K. They had an ask, but it says there, they implored us. I know some people in the first service got a little bit confused about this, but I said, let it fall where it may. I don't really care. It said, they implored us much with urgency. They begged, they beseeched, they said, we must be a part of this. And you know, I don't know if Paul waved them off or the leadership waved them off. No, you guys are dirt poor. Don't worry. You know, save your food for soup. It's okay. Oh, I don't want soup. I want to be different. I'm different. I don't need soup to live anymore. You know, of course, I'm not being assuming, but something in them gripped them. And they must be a part of it now. And so their ask was huge. When I took that word ask and applied to Scripture, it was stunning what's in this Bible through an ask. Ask. Come on, man. There's so much. You know what happens when asks happen? When you ask, then there's delay. Say with me. I'm just trying to put a little fire under your ask. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm telling you, this whole Bible is written on an ask, on a question like, who are you, God? And men started to cry out to him in worship, and they wanted to discover who he was. Jesus, his whole ministry, it began with an ask. Okay, John, baptize me. No, I shouldn't baptize you. No, I'm asking you to baptize me, to be according to Scripture so we can go with this. That ask is participatory. That ask is an invitation. That ask is like, I want you to be a part of this because I've designed you to be a part of it, and I've designed the system so that you will be a part of it. Because I'm redemptive, I'm delivering, I'm reaching out. And what the enemy says, no, you can't have, I'm going to ruin his life with how much is going to happen. You understand? That's how God is in heaven. You take a third of the angels with you, I'm going to like undo you people. Seriously. And God is jealous over that. He's jealous of this house. And so their ask was amazing. So Jesus starts with an ask. He goes, follow me, Peter. Follow me, James and John. He asked. Who do men say that I am? He asked. Did you ever have God ask you a question? Man, he knows the answer, but he's looking for discovery from you. But we would never know half this Bible if men didn't ask. Jesus teaches to pray. How do we pray? I'm glad you asked. But I show you in that, the structure of prayer just floods men's lives. Worship first and hallowed his name. That sets the course of our very souls, realizing who God is and who we are, but who we are in him. I mean, the first one, hallowed be his name. Our Father. Father, not king, not Lord, although he is absolutely king and Lord. I know I'm doing a rabbit trail, but that ask brought in so much to our lives. In John 15, verse 5 and 7, he says, ask, if you're my will, ask what you want, and I'll do it for you. But every one of us think there's 42,000 prerequisites to that, being in his will and doing all that stuff. And so we disqualify ourselves before we even start. Don't you think he made you and made you care about the things you care about? And if you're on the road and in pursuit of him, that his goodness isn't bigger than your disqualifications? And if you look at that and say, God, that's wrong. That really bugs me. Let's take that away and put this in. You don't think he'll back you up? Snap out of it. He will. It is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Luke 15. He's looking for an opportunity for you to believe him. And the enemy is looking for an opportunity to make you dull and unbelieving. Come on. So many great asks in the scriptures. The largest one is Moses. I don't want to miss anything. Oh, Peter, what a great ask was that. On the water, big storm, Jesus comes walking on the water, and he puts in a big ask. He says, if it's you, let me come onto the water. He asked God to ask him. That's a really good thing. If you don't know, ask God to ask you. God, invite me to that dinner. God, invite me to that millionaire club, would you? Please. God, invite me to that place where people get healed all the time, and I'm a part of healing people. Come on, get your ask up. Come on. I really didn't mean it that way. I mean, come on, get your ask. Get it going. Get your imagination going. I mean, certainly write down on this thing what you believe God is speaking to you about, but just nudge you a little bit further and imagine what happens. Mark didn't know that was going to happen. Brian Biesecker and Kathy didn't know it was going to happen. When they gave him a little, he gave them a lot. God's math goes into operation, and when a singular motion becomes exponential in its very nature, because that's the way God is. And Peter, he did not know this story was going to be written. But I'm sure he was amazed by it and told all his grandkids. You know what I mean? Because he believed that. Like when he asked God, God said, come. And he changed the way men thought about God and about the world and the world around them. That it can be changed. We can do supernatural things. Moses had the biggest ask ever. His whole life was an ask, wasn't it? It started with his mom, who recognized what a beautiful, powerful child he was, and they were killing kids, and she puts him. Don't you think she huddled in someplace, conflicted and upset and terrified, saying, God, what should I do with this child? I can't waste this child's life. I won't allow it. What should I do? Her big ask was make a basket, put a reed, put some pitch on it so it won't sink, and float it down the river. Right to Pharaoh's daughter. Then she sends her daughter, Pharaoh's sister, down to the Pharaoh's daughter when she finds the child. And she asks, do you want to, and the child, she finds the child, do you want me to go find an Israel woman to nurse the child? What a great ask. Two asks right away, which changed, what is her name? I don't know what her mom's name was. Does anybody know his mom's name? Anyway, so changed her life from terror to they paid her in the palace to feed her child. Are you following me on this? You should have a better response than that. I'm just much, much better, okay? She was terrified she's going to lose the child and kill him. And then she got moved to the palace and she got paid to nurse the child and raise him with all the schooling that you could have as an Egyptian, which was the center of the universe at the time. And so this man was raised to be a ruler of Egypt, but really he was a ruler of God's people. And then in his own sense, being taught probably from his mom in his lineage, he departed from there and really moved to what God wanted him to do, his calling. What an amazing ask. And in the middle of this, he steps forward for God, and the whole Israel, they get all mad at him because he goes before Pharaoh and he says, okay, you can't, I'm just ticked off at you guys, so you make your bricks without straw. Go get straw on your own. And what do? They come back and say, we just have to make our quota. They're asking to make their quota. Instead of asking for their deliverance. Moses was asking for deliverance. They're asking to be better slaves. Wow. Stepped all over your toes. Did. What are we asking? Are we asking like slaves to be better slaves? Or are we asking to be different? Come on, ask for deliverances. You know, Moses' ask, his big ask, not only passed deliverance, but it discovered who God was. And God gave him the law. It wasn't enough just to be delivered. Now, who are you? And then he gets the Ten Commandments, of which men, for the first time on the planet, had something written to understand, begin to put parameters, not parameters, but understanding of who God was and what he cares about. From there became a nomadic group that became a living, breathing, moving army that were trained in their hearts toward God. When the cloud moved, they just move, baby, with it. When the fire came up, okay, everybody, here we go. And they are moving. Became a brilliant, moving, believing people. But all from an ask, who are you? I've got to know who you are. We got to get out of here, God. Good ask. I can't stay this place anymore. Get us out. Good job. Ask. How do you know what your ask is going to get you? Seriously, when you stand before the Lord and inquire of who he is, he will show you personally. That's the beautiful part about him. He's absolutely personal. Man, when you kneel down in your prayer closet, God answers your prayers. Ask him. Don't be afraid. Ask me. Did you think he ever said like, hey, that was just, I don't know, John, that was way out of your bandwidth. You shouldn't be asking that. It's a little too much there, smarty pants. Do you think God talks to us like that? It's just that you act like it, don't you? Like, I couldn't ask him that. Like, hey, come on. That's what I love about it. My boys, man, they ask me. Let's talk about it. We have a deal. You can disagree. We just can't be sneaky. All right? We can, right? When they're growing up as teenagers. You can disagree with me, but the way we left it is the way we left it. But a deal. But we are not afraid to ask. Let's ask. Ask what it's about. Amen? All right, let's go to the second one. Am I missing anything there? Holy man. Okay. So amazing. I just... John 11, Martha, and I'll steal this from Pat. Martha comes up, and remember Lazarus? He's going to be, he just died. You'd say yes, I do remember that. And she said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that you're the Lord, you're the giver of life for all things. I'm paraphrasing. So she's telling him, you could raise him from the dead. What an amazing ask for she was. Totally convinced and persuaded. All right, second thing is a great trust, all right? What I love in this section right here is it says, how do you lose your... Oh, there's my phone. You're filming right on stage. There you go. I love that their true colors came out when they're under pressure. What they really believed and what their real resource was came out under pressure. And that was their real trust in God. We don't trust in our situation, our circumstances. We don't trust in the Macedonian economy anymore. And it says they gave themselves completely to God and to them. Man, whenever you have an ask, God's going to help persuade you in your trust. Now, I want you to understand that. That's a very important thing. Like, I've had some big asks in my life, and God came through with a great trust in that. I remember before I came into ministry, we had a family business. It was a wonderful, simple, modest family business. We worked very hard at it, didn't we, Brian? All the way through, growing up, learning how to work, how to manage, how to be responsible for, be owners, not just workers. And before I left, I mean, I felt God speak to me about coming to ministry. And before I left, I said, God, there's a few things I need to ask you about, but I need to trust you with in the middle of this. And one of them was, well, here they were. They were that we'd have a lot full of cars that were paid for, that the building and our property that we had was completely paid for, and that there'd be money in the bank, sitting in the bank. Now, if you're a small business owner, that's a big ask, isn't it? But I saw God come through with all of that. Do you know that? I remember asking it in my prayer closet, this little stupid office in a 30 by 30 garage that we threw a fuzzy rug on and a chair and a desk. And meet there, God, every morning for an hour, hour and a half, and just pray before we start our business. Like, God, you are my partner, and we will be successful. So we put 6 kids through college, right? And paid all the bills. That was good. And before we left, I remember on a rainy night, and that floor was soaked in that hole. We had just done cars. I knelt down and thanked God. Ah. I thanked him because he did what I asked him to do. Great trust. When we came to this building here, there's a great trust, and what I want to share with you is that God, he helps keep our hearts persuaded. That's what we have to just pay attention to him. So we came here, we looked at this building, Charles and Brian had stepped onto that brass world out in the end of the lobby over there, and they said, they just stepped in and they knew, we'll take it. They just knew it was right. Thank God for guys who are change agents and believe God big time. Now me, I was on the side going, really, we're going to buy that building? That's going to work out because we don't have any money and the building we have is falling down on 13th Street and no one really knows we exist. We don't really care. So, you know. So the bank waved us off a couple times, didn't it? You know, just like, go away. So, but we couldn't get out of our hearts. And we kept pressing in with a guy named Bill Gladstone out of CIR Real Estate. And we just kept pressing. But we did the whole building went into a real estate investment trust, just disappeared off the face of the earth. And so one day we're meeting on Friday mornings for Blue Sky. Blue Sky means talk about God, don't have to worry about church, just let your heart run, and sharing coffee. And we all shared like, hey, I was up on that building the other day. I was up on the property. Me too. I was up on there Thursday. I was up on there Saturday night. I was like, and we're all meeting and just saying how we couldn't get out of our hearts. So we said, okay, let's go back and ask Bill. So of course, when I asked Bill, and Bill's, I can still remember the conversation, really. I just quiet on the other side. Seriously, guys, you got to get over this. Here's the words he said. You got to get a life. There's life beyond this building. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I can still, just quiet. I just said, Bill, just do me a favor. Please go back and check on it. Click. Not even that. Okay, John, thanks a lot. Click. No. So a couple of months later, we're at a meeting, evening service, aren't we? And I get a call, Bill Gladstone. You're not going to believe this. Oh, Bill. Yes, I am. Because in the morning, Shady Brothers had walked across. They had said they wanted to start building so many times. So we started to fix it up, didn't we? So we fixed it up and they got real interested in it. So they walked across with a letter and a check for like $100,000. And we're going to buy our building for $1.1 million. Woo! Written. Offer. Sign. Bill, I believe it. If you can get a real offer with real money tomorrow morning, you have a 2-hour window, you can get it in. Don't worry, Bill. We're already ready. Oh, come on. But in the middle of that, now I had to, when I said, like when Brian and Charles stepped on, I wasn't the same way. I was over across, you know, South Bridge going west that way. And across it is this big property and a big building on it. You can see it now. There's a road on there. When that building was nothing there and we were looking for properties, one of the things I asked is God, you know, I was walking that property thinking, whoa, it's, because we had this word from Kim Clement. You'll see it from the highway. They'll say it's up there. There it is. I'm like, so like, I'm looking near any highway there is for this land. You know what I mean? So I'm like, pick a building. We'll paint it white. I don't care what. You know what I mean? Just get the property, because the prophecy went into our hearts, you know, and we couldn't ignore the prophecy, and then we couldn't ignore the property, and we had no means otherwise. So me being a person, I'm thinking, well, there's going to be, I'm looking on the ground to say, okay, God, I'm going to pick up 5 smooth stones. I still got them. Still have them in a little case in my house. 5, and they're like big as my palm, though. And 5 things have to happen. I said, first, we've got to have, the building has to even reappear, because it's disappeared right now. Second, we have to have a bank that even thinks we're intelligent, okay? So, like, that believes in us. We got 2, you know what I mean? All you need is 2. All you need is 2, which is great. So, and then we got to, I think, what else? We had to sell our building. We had to sell it. And then we had to do due diligence and figure out how we're going to do this here. And then we had to have a body that would be unanimous, that would want to go after this. We had come almost, what, 100% unanimity, whatever. Everybody's together. So, all right. They're like, I still remember the prayer meeting. Go do it. I'm like, seriously? Like, we're going to give them $250,000, and they're going to hope that we can't make the deal. And that just disappears. But we risked it all, and we gained our inheritance. Seriously. Thank you, Charles. Look, it wasn't so clapworthy when we're going through this. Laying in bed at night going, oh, what do we do? Okay. But in that was a big trust. One of the things we promised ourselves was going to stay in faith. Because what God spoke in the light, we weren't afraid to believe in the dark. We said, come on, baby. First, you got to believe it's really God. It's not just a good idea. It's Him. And secondly, you got to stay in faith. And what we learned is that God is the one who keeps us in faith. Now, we attend to Him, we face Him, we get before Him, we let His culture and His ways settle down on us, but He's the one that persuades our hearts. It's his nature to do that. I'd say it's His job, but I'm not putting that on Him. It's just His nature. He keeps us in faith. He keeps us in His real kingdom. And it's not one of denial. It's one that absorbs all the questions and all the difficulties and still says, I totally believe. I trust You. I know You said this to me. And I'm not moved because I know You said it to me and it goes into my heart. Come on, man. I don't care it's about your marriage. I don't care it's about your friend, your sister, your brother, your enemy. But God puts things in your hearts. Come on. That trust is important. Let Him, allow Him to persuade your heart. If you're here ho-hum, and man, one of the things we pray around here is we're desperate to be desperate for God. So we got to pray that. God, I'm going to stay in the harness. But that's, I just got to present myself because all the questions are there. It's okay. All right, how are we doing? Come on, last thing is see, and I'm just going to get through this in a minute. So to be able to see. So if we have a big ask, in which I hope you are getting your ask going, okay? I mean, like I'm sorry. I'm really not trying to say that. You know what I mean? I was telling the story about, never mind. I just let it go. One time I was telling the story about a dam and a leak in a dam, and I said, let's get back to the dam story. And I didn't mean it that way. I really did. Everybody fell out. Come on. Many of you guys, you're believing for a promotion, but you should be believing for a business, okay? I'm trying to push you. You're believing for your bills to pay, but you should be believing for the ability to pay somebody else's bills. Come on. You're believing for a healing, but you should be believing for when God wants a resurrection. Come on, I'm not just saying that stuff. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And so I'm just nudging you to get in a different place where you, when you write that stuff down, just let your imagination run. Okay? Why? Because you've got to see as well. Come on, so many parts in the Bible and so many characters in the Bible could really see. One of the ones I love is the first part where in Acts 3, where Peter and John come out and they see the guy who's lame at the gate, beautiful. Jesus had to walk by him a number of times. He's begging for food, silver and gold, for money. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do see and know that I have, I give to You. And he ends up walking. Come on. That changed his whole life. From dependent on finances to dependent on God. And who knows, maybe he became the richest man in town. I don't know. Remember I was begging there? Now I'm giving money to everybody. Now, come on, let your imagination run with this stuff. You know, someone who needed money, now he's got, maybe he became an empire in that place. Maybe build a house for all the beggars. I don't know. But I like thinking that way, don't you? So he could see himself, and they could see themselves differently. Daniel, Joseph could see, but they had big ask and big trusts in God, and then they were able to see. Elisha with his servant, when he's faced with all the chariots of the enemy, and the servant gets up and says, "Oh, they're well numbering us." He said, "Oh God, open his eyes and see. Let him see what I see." And then you can see the firing chariots all around them. God, if I could just see like that, don't you think? That every problem you face, that you know on the other side is a treasure and a breakthrough. And you think those problems are handed to you by accident? Come on. Colossians says, get your head off looking at the ground and lift it up to things above. This is not fairy tale stuff or stuff that's not workable in our lives, but it's the truth moving through us with love, embracing all men, all circumstances, and saying, you're greater than this, God. Your love is greater. Why? Because it's first conquered my heart and my circumstance and my life and can conquer others. Yeah. Let's stand up. So wonderful. We were praying as a men's group the other day as you're standing up, and Edgar did a beautiful job sharing about Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And that word lighting is revelation, the ability to see. And then Steve Roberts, and I'll give him a byline too, is he had this wonderful prayer. God, and what if we could, our faith was greater than our natural sight? I'm like, bud, this is men's prayer. Come on, this is awesome. I know, shameless plug for men's prayer, 6 o'clock Friday every week. Come on, what if your sight, your faith sight was greater than your natural sight? Yeah. Let's pray that way, come on. God is jealous over this house. Give him something to work with. Come on. Let's determine in our week, this week, that we steal away and get some time. Let your heart run. Let it run for the things you want. Because God is in that. He's in your desires. Are you perfect? Oh, get over it. You're not perfect. I told you a few weeks ago, I'm hitting before the Lord. God, I'm so unworthy. Taps me on the shoulder. You have no idea how unworththy you are, John. Really. Got over that religious deal, didn't I? In a hurry, like, oh, that made me laugh. Right in the middle of worship. I was like, good. You're right. I'm not perfect, but I am in this for the long haul. Let's go, God. Let's do it. Let's swing and hit, swing and miss. Who cares? Right? Let's swing. Get your ask in a larger place. Let's say that. Get it up. Okay? My little fire under that. Let's go. Come on, let's believe God. He's double dog daring us, okay? What are we doing this for? So we can have a breakthrough. So that our finances aren't our resource. God is. God, you just did that. And he'll bless you, and then he'll ask you again, let's go. Give some more. You know, a couple years ago, Pat and I, we determined going into 2017, I felt like God was telling us, live as if you completely had all the abundance you needed. Like, live your life. It changed the way we thought. It changed the way we lived. I mean, of course, we're stewards, but like, believe there's no limit here. Let's believe. Let's start to live that way. And we're working at it. But that he's our source. You know, and we've had a trial this year. Like, I mean, I didn't know you'd come for my words. You really, you know, think I'm your source? Like, yes, I do. Oh, I get to try that out. But it's wonderful. But we're living that way. Changed the way we live, changed the way we thought, changed the way we gave. It changed us. Like, we're not going back. And every time we stretch ourselves, it's like, but every time it's like, God, you're just a show off, man. You're amazing. And you got to think about it. How wealthy are you? And money doesn't count. Think about that. And then think about your finances. Be a good steward, of course. We're doing this for the kingdom. We're doing this to be free. We have an opportunity. And it's happening among us. It really, really is. Let's believe him. Put your hand on a shoulder near you. Any way properly, make a connection. In all of this, if you are here today and don't know Jesus, oh my gosh. He is crazy about you up and down and all around, just the way you are right now. His love will reconform you, but he's crazy about you the way you are. If you have not asked him into your life in the simplest way, just, God, I believe you are who you say you are. And I want you to be the Lord and King of my life. Come in, and I promise you, heaven will set up housekeeping inside of you, and you'll be so changed. Peace and grace will come into you. Please pray that prayer. Let's lift each other up, God. This is it. This is your kingdom. This is our family, the one you've given us, and we love each other. God, let your love compel us to acts of kindness and faith, hope and love. We partner with you, you'll keep us. We ask for your wisdom this week, your imagination to hit our imagination, for faith in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Man, if you need healing, please come forward. If you'd like a point of faith where we can lay hands and say, John, I'm struggling in this area, we would love to pray with you. Otherwise, I bless you. Have a wonderful February 10th. Enjoy it. Thank you so much. All right.